If you've listened to pop music over the past 40 years, you've heard more than a few songs with a robotic sound. You might have even wondered how that effect was created. Well, it didn't happen in a music studio. It all began at the phone company.
This is the voice of power. I make it possible for you to have electric light and radio and television. I am both your servant and your master, so beware of how you use me.
That otherworldly voice was recorded in the 1930s by Bell Labs, the research division of AT&T. That strange sound was made by speaking into one of their newest inventions, a vocoder. Originally developed to reduce the cost of long distance, the vocoder has had many uses over the years. Dave Tompkins has written a new book about the device, How to Wreck a Nice Speech, The Vocoder from World War II to Hip-Hop. He says the vocoder played a significant role in the Second World War.
Churchill and FDR's conversations were being intercepted by German intelligence and deciphered in real time. Pearl Harbor really cemented that idea because the warning and the Japanese ultimatum could not be transmitted by phone because the phones could not be trusted. They were looking for a different way to encode speech. And so Bell Labs was commissioned by the National Defense Research Committee in 1942 to develop this massive speech encoding machine.
Was there ever any trouble understanding what people were saying? Obviously, with this technology, you can really distort words and distort what's being said.
Intelligibility was a problem, in particular with the pitch control. They'd send Bell Labs engineers to the Pentagon to regulate this wild pitch situation. And so they didn't mind war leaders and generals sounding like robots just as long as they didn't sound like chipmunks. Eisenhower did not want to sound like a chipmunk.
All right. At some point, the vocoder made a shift from being something the military used to becoming part of popular culture. When did that begin to happen?
A big shift occurred in Germany. And there's a speech in 1949 by an information theorist named Werner Meyer Eppler. And he talked about the applications of artificial speech. And the speech inspired radio engineers in West Germany to have a vocoder developed by Siemens for West German radio in Cologne. But a big transitional point would be Wendy Carlos's soundtrack for A Clockwork Orange. Wendy Carlos did a vocoder interpolation of the fourth movement of Beethoven's Ninth, and essentially that introduced the vocoder to its first major audience. There were a lot of people who had no idea what it was, but as the vocoder evolved, they knew the voice, they just had no idea where it came from.
So after that voice was heard in A Clockwork Orange, did other musicians then sort of wonder what it was and begin experimenting with it?
It started appearing in music studios because the technology is still really expensive at the time. But German electronic musicians Kraftwerk from Dusseldorf were some of the first to make the vocoder more accessible through their early work. The first big hit would be Autobahn. This sort of serene journey across the highways. And the vocoder, it would just say Autobahn. This is sort of gasp. And they continue to use it in their music for We Are the Robots and The Man Machine. And it sounded perfectly natural in the context of Kraftwerk because they're doing purely electronic music.
You're charging your battery.
You know, it seems to me that from what you're saying, the use of the vocoder started with experimental music, maybe avant-garde music, but then eventually it moved into mainstream with hip-hop, right?
It became the voice of electro-funk hip-hop in the early 80s. In particular, Michael Johnson, he's a disco musician from Boston, recorded perhaps the first entire hip-hop vocoder album, Lost in Space, which was released in 1983. And the song called Pac Jam was inspired by his intent to destroy all Pac-Man or Pac-Man machines because the video game made him dizzy. Futuristic sounds with the new synthesizer technology at the time, it really affected how people moved.
A-A-C-K. G-A-A-L. And also it has a successor, which is known as Auto-Tune. What is what is the connection between the vocoder and Auto-Tune?
Well, Auto-Tune is a pitch corrective software implant. It places the pitch in the right place on the musical scale. The vocoder breaks the voice down and then reconstructs it so that you have an input for speech and you have an input for a modulator, say a synthesizer, and you can play those notes through your voice. Auto-Tune is often mistaken for vocoder, so in a sense, Auto-Tune brought the vocoder back in vogue. But the Auto-Tune sound is this sort of has this bird-like delirium to it that really appeals to pop.
Some might argue that this robotic sound is overused. Do you think that ultimately the vocoder was good for music?
Oh, certainly. I think expanded music in terms of the synthesizer technologies that were available at the time. And what's more human than wanting to inhabit a different character? And so I think it gave artists a sort of an outlet. It became an escapism, especially with hip-hop in the early 1980s.
Dave Tompkins is a music journalist and author of How to Wreck a Nice Beach, The Vocoder, from World War II to hip-hop. Thanks. It was good talking to you, Dave.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And you can read an excerpt from Tompkins' book and hear songs featuring the vocoder at nprmusic.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.
And I'm Renee Montagne.